from the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush.
Welcome to the Writer's Serial Fiction Show. If you haven't listened to today's story, we encourage you to pause and go listen to CP Knight's episode on our companion podcast first. If you like what you hear, check out the episode free on Vella or Later Press. The links to the podcast and the episodes are in the show notes. So, JP.
So, Christine.
How has your week been?
It's been a week. when are we recording this? We're recording this June 3rd. So last week was in the US, the Memorial Day weekend, and we had family over, and everyone except for my partner wakes up as early as I wake up. And let me tell you, when you're hosting and you have to, like, I don't have to, but I have this need to be the entertainer, make sure that everyone is having a good time. So, like, I got no writing done in like 5 days, and I was losing my mind, and I'm just like, everything's fine. But it wasn't their fault. It's just my own weird needs to make sure that everyone is entertained in some form or fashion. So yeah, but not like we're not behind on episodes. I took this week, I drafted the episode that should be coming out this Saturday, and we're Jeff and I are working on a process to get a few episodes ahead, because right now we're like still biting the bullet. But yeah, it's been a week. How about you?
Oh, same. We're right there on the edge too, like just trying to get the episodes out on time. You know, we've drafted ahead, but not like revised or edited. So yeah, we're kind of down to the wire with that, and just work has been busy. So, you know, I've been getting some writing in, but not as much as I would like when I went to a concert. So it's not all bad, which was my first concert since 2019. So I was thrilled.
What concert?
I went to go see Orville Peck, who everyone's going to be like, who's like that? Who's that? So he's an indie kind of alt country artist. And I'm not a country person, but I really like Orville Peck. So it was amazing. Nice. It was sold out. So I was just kind of chilling in the back, but it was fine. Yeah. It was a lot of
very
fun.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
One random writer side note thing is, I found that when I was in this weird rut and then I needed to like get back to things, that was the time that a list worked the best for me. I hate lists. So this is from someone that hates doing lists on a day-to-day basis, but for getting back into the cycle of things, wow, lists are great. And then I'll throw it away and I'll never use it again. But just throwing that out there.
Lists are great, but I also hate them because they make me do things. So yay lists.
Yay lists. Boo lists. Let's go talk to our author.
Perfect. So JP, let's talk about Pro Writing Aid. And as they say on their website, it is the secret to polished and professional writing. As writers, we make the same mistakes. When you use Pro Writing Aid, you can get clear, easy steps to improve your writing so you can share your ideas with confidence. Whether you're doing creative writing, business writing, academic writing, just composing an email and you want to sound smart, Pro Writing Aid will help you.
And 100%.
There's something new. What is it, JP?
So Atticus, which is a wonderful program that includes book formatting, and it is developing aspects for writers so that it can basically be a one-stop shop for writers, has an integration with Pro Writing Aid now. So we've mentioned before that Pro Writing Aid has a lot of integrations with, you know, Google Docs and Microsoft Word, and now Atticus, which just makes that tool Atticus really shiny and nice for authors that are looking for a one-stop place. But it's just the fact that Pro Writing Aid can integrate with so many programs so that you're able to use this sort of last line defense before handing it off to someone. It just makes it so much easier. I love using Pro Writing Aid because then I don't have people that are editing it looking for simple mistakes that I can find using Pro Writing Aid that I can learn from. And instead, they're looking at the deeper content and they're able to notate that. So I just find Pro Writing Aid so nice. So I love it when I hear a new integration has happened.
Absolutely. Check out Pro Writing Aid. It will help you be a better writer. ProWritingAid.com. Use our discount code, Serial20.
S-E-R-I-A-L 20.
So JP, let's talk about LaterPress. So LaterPress is a platform built to help authors declare their independence. It lets authors create digital books and sell them directly to their readers through their own branded website. And there are new things coming to the platform every day in terms of discoverability and new features. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I put Nerds on LaterPress, and it was a really easy and really fast process, which was pretty cool. And one of the cool things was you can put a collection, and then you can put your, we put Nerds in the collection so that ideally if we do any spinoffs or if we do any like season two or like specifying those pieces, you can put those books in the collection, which is really nice. And it's a really nice way of like hierarchical pieces to it, which is really cool.
And
it basically gives you your own website. Ours is nrds.laterpress.com. And you just direct your readers straight there and they see Nerds. It doesn't get blocked by anything else. There are no ads in the way. There are nothing. It's just straight up Nerds content for your readers to get straight to reading, which is different than some other platforms, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And I did the same thing, although I uploaded all of my books to a collection just so I had one place, you know, to direct readers. And so I have Molecule Thief, Dark is Away, and the Steampunk Emerald Key is up there. So it's one link. People can see all your books and you can order them whatever way you want, you know, or your serials. You can put serials up as well. And and you can do it on a subscription model or pay per book. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, which was a really cool.
Yeah,
the pricing thing was pretty cool. Figuring out either doing per book or some type of a subscription model just to kind of give your readers different abilities to support you. Because some people really like the, you know, it's basically like a Patreon, but you just get content to read.
And the cut is just 5%.
Yeah. So test it out. Try it out.
Yep. Laterpress.com.
See you later, press.
So I just wanted to start off talking about your hook in your first episode. You have a countdown right at the start. Rebby is growling at the display and the countdown for their launch window is going red. They've got less than 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If they miss it, hours, days, and, you know, then they got to pay to get a new one and start this expedition. How do you go about crafting hooks when you're starting a new story to suck your readers in?
I don't know. I try a lot. For this one, like I said, the target's in. I wanted to just have fun. But I knew serial fiction, you had to not only hook them, but you had to have some tension at the end of the episodes. And so the story is kicking around for a while. And I took it from where I had it and I started earlier. And I was like, how much, you know, a literal countdown. I figured that had to work, right? It's a literal countdown. So, I mean, that's how I did that one is let's start with a countdown. The tension's got to get higher, right? So that was my attempt for that one. But in general, I struggle with the hooks. I really do. I'll write something and then I'll let my daughter read it. She's my business partner and editor. And she'll just shake her head at me. Like, no, that's not the right thing. So it I have to work at the hooks for sure. Revision. That's how I get there.
Perfect.
Yep. So when Christine and I looked at the story, this first episode in terms of theme or armature, we picked out something along the lines of family in the sense of found family is the most important, even when danger looms, when you wait for them. So I'm curious, how do you go about using theme if you do? And how does that come into play in your storytelling?
It varies, I think. For this story, I think that those are good ones for the first episode. Because Rebby's clearly agonizing over the situation. And it's because she cares. It's not, you know, she's grumpy, but she actually does care. So those are probably good ones for the first episode. And that will hold through the entire series as well. But when I crafted the characters for this one, in terms of theme, redemption is probably the biggest theme I was thinking of. And which is a little weird because a lot of times some things I don't think of theme before I write it. But for this one, I especially because it was a serial and I felt I had some pressure to have conflict and something happen. And so when I picked the characters and they all have something to prove, it was just like the theme of redemption was clearly they're all striving for that in one form or another, which is dripped in through the course of the serial. So I hope that's what people see. but normally theme, I have a fantasy I am working on. That's a coming of age fantasy that I am deliberately depositing some themes into, mostly social commentary kind of themes. But also, you know, the basics, good versus evil. Good versus evil is like where I start for almost every story, with varying degrees. My space opera novella that came out this year is definitely good versus evil and some of the similar kind of themes, but it's not, I try not to make it as clear cut. So it's a little bit more thought provoking. So I want to say that I don't normally think about themes, but I think I'm talking myself into, I usually plan some themes. What I tell myself.
And yeah, and it really tied into Rebbie's character, you know, her needs and her wants in this first episode. She really, really wants to get off this planet, but she needs to be patient and worry for her idiot brother's friend. How do you go about crafting your characters?
Well, I take a lot of inspiration from real life. I've met a lot of people, worked with a lot of different kinds of people. And I kind of just sort of incorporate what I've observed over the years. I pick a lane for the character, what I kind of want them to be. And then I think back and I pull out characteristics of people I've known who are leaning that way or have aspects of that. So it's really mostly that. But also there's inspiration from, you know, books and TV. There've been a lot of series lately where I think the writing has let characters down. And so I think I also look at those and I file that in my brain and say, you know, okay, how to write a good character is not this way. So make a note of this and use that for character development at some point.
So when Christine and I looked at the scene in terms of construction, it was well constructed in terms of using the countdown trope. And we used the three C's, so conflict, choice, and in this case, cliffhanger, and noted that the conflict is, you know, the countdown to this launch has started. So we've had this turn. And the choice is, do they wait for RJ or do they take off without him? And then we leave with the cliffhanger of they have 1 minute to launch. And we're all sitting there with night biting our nails, just kind of waiting to see what's happening next. So I'm curious, how do you go about constructing your episodes and your scenes when you're doing Bella?
Well, in the beginning, I just wrote. I knew I had to have a cliffhanger. I knew where I wanted each episode to end. And I kind of tried, I wrote to that end. But that caught up with me. I have one of my weaknesses is I tend to be very light on description, which is something I'm working on. But so it, like when you get to episode 5, it's like I got there and I got to the cliffhanger on episode 4 and went into episode 5, and what had to happen couldn't happen because I hadn't described it well enough yet. So I had to, that particular episode I felt was too descriptive-y and just didn't fit that model very well. I've had some feedback that people like that's their favorite episode. So I don't know if the description actually enhanced it or not. But so in the beginning, I was really kind of winging it. And just having fun with it. Over the last couple months, I've taken a little bit more structured approach. I use the app Plotter. And I had been using it anyway, but I was still kind of just winging the structure of each individual episode. And now I've started using a serial template and trying to hit those points a little bit better, especially I've started from scratch using that template for the one I told you about, the 1980s physics student one. So I'm hope maybe that will be help me a little bit better, be more consistent in being able to hit that structure. So I've evolved since Vela started. It was just winging it to, I still pants between the things, but trying to get the structure right. Nice. I'm using a plotter now. That's basically how I'm doing.
So I'm curious about the plotter serial fiction structure. Is there anything you notice that's different in that versus, writing a regular novel?
For me, it is, because the novellas or novels that I've been working on, I really am looking at, I usually focus on the much larger scope of it. You know, it's the three act structure, or I can't even remember the rest of them right now. That's how tired my brain is, but basically much longer structure. And so I don't worry. I haven't yet worked at a chapter level and tried to structure the chapter according to that. I really have been looking at the big overall structure to make sure I've got that right. So that's different for me, looking at individual chapters and trying to make them fit that structure. Because like I said, I usually know where I begin, where I end, and I just kind of pants in between. But I'm trying now to stick to that structure for the serials. So hopefully that will help it. But it's much different for me than when I'm doing the novels.
So taking a step before structuring scenes, I'm curious, what are some world-building techniques that you've used to flesh out this universe and keep it concise?
I keep everything as Scrivener for the most part. Except, I mean, I use Plotter to do the outline of the plots, the writing and the research and the all the elements, the Bible or whatever, you know, you want to call it. I keep that in Scrivener. And there's a couple different things to do. I've used some of the world anvil prompts it was mostly geared towards gaming, but they also have it now kind of author options, and they ask the questions and give you places to do your timelines. So I use that a little bit, not probably as much as I should. And then I use a brainstorming app to think through what sorts of things I need to have. And then I pull that together with the research, and it's kind of a haphazard approach, I guess. I try to get as much as I can in one place in the Scrivener as I can, and then figure it out.
Yeah. I really like that you use a brainstorming app, because that's something I do actually by hand a lot, especially when I'm somewhere and I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I'll write down, 10 to 12 options. So I think that's cool. I'm going to have to check that out. I never thought of using a brainstorming app. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and they're all there. All the brainstorms ever, they're all right there. So I don't have to worry about finding my post-it notes or anything.
Perfect. So do you have any other favorite resources or craft books that you use to help you when you're writing?
I have a couple, I forget what they're called. They're basically compendiums of alternative ways to say things. Like, my characters smile and nod a lot. So, and my daughter's relentless on pointing those out. So I have a couple. You can look them up online too, but I like having the book there, and I can just flip to exactly what I need rather than trying to search and Google and see what they gives me. So those are the ones I probably use the most to help me figure out how to say body language or emotions without repeating myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the emotion thesaurus ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those kinds of things. I have a couple that are very good at really tuning into not just the emotion, but also tying that to the body language. So those are really helpful. In terms of inspiration kind of writing books, I would probably Zen and the Art of Writing. I don't think a month goes by where my daughter and I or other writers and I don't try to cheer each other up with the, he's read Ray Bradbury's advice to, write a short story every week And, you know, some are going to be good and some are going to be great, but there's a lot of not so good ones in there too. And it just, so it's good to know that even somebody like him,
yeah,
you know, recognizes that not everything is going to be it. And so that's a, that, that helps when you write something that is not it.
Yeah. 1,000,000%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, what does your daily or weekly routine look like?
Oh, it's crazy. In terms of writing, I make sure I get at least a half an hour of writing every morning before anything. Because that's the only reason I know I'll get any writing done that day. And I have a lot of, I homeschool my son. I've got elderly parents. And it just, there's a lot of my time is mostly taken up by other people. So I try to get my writing done at least a half an hour every morning. And then I grab moments whenever I can. I've been doing a little bit better. I actually drew up a schedule. It's like, okay, if these blocks on these days, you know, ask somebody else because I'm going to write. It's been a little hard to make that work though with the construction and stuff going on. But so my writing routine is I write when I can and definitely every morning, first thing.
I thought I had read somewhere that you were a night writer too. Is that true? Or
yes.
Is that something that used to happen? Or what does that look like for you?
It's, yeah, I prefer writing at night. I used to do most of my writing from like 10 to 2 at night. Now I've, the only guaranteed time I have is, you know, a little bit in the morning. So I will, I actually have started forcing myself not to write at night. I won't start writing anything after 11 because I'll be up most of the night. And that's great for my writing, but not so great for my health.
Yeah.
I need sleep. Everybody needs sleep. So if I was in my natural habitat without any other obligations, yeah, I'd probably be staying up all night writing and then sleeping most of the morning.
Yeah. I get that because I'm a night writer too, but it's difficult because like you say, you can get sucked in, the time goes by and then you don't sleep. I just think mm-hmm. the rest of the world needs to adjust to us.
Like, I would like that.
I disagree, but okay.
morning.
So, yeah, whatever. So with the addition of poles, what are some of the poles that you've used or plan to use?
It's really hard because I really don't know what to ask. I used one a few episodes ago just to test them out. And it was kind of a, there were a lot of action that happened and it was kind of a, it was a down episode, you know, a little, it was the recovery episode from all that action. So it was like, the tension was not as strong and it was just really more close in with the characters. It was a real quiet moment. So I put a poll on that one and asked, you know, are down moments like this good or would you rather have all action? And so far, everybody says the down moments are good, but I can't tell how many people that is. So,
yeah, that's the weird thing about it. And like, I got 100%. Is that one person?
Right. Like right.
Many people. That
it's
is
hard
tricky.
To tell. But yeah. So I'm trying, if I had a more engaged audience, I think I would put them in there more frequently. But for the moment, again, it's not the data. It's more of a fun thing right now because we can't access the data that would actually make it useful.
100% agree. And as a final question, what would you say to someone looking to start a serial?
Just do it. Have fun with it. Just have fun with it and do your best to get your, you know, clean work out there, but have fun writing it. Don't stress too much and just enjoy the process because it's actually kind of fun and the accountability of regular updates. And it's really a good process just to get you started, especially if you don't have anything written yet. But if you're coming from novels or something else, I think it's a good shift in creativity to try different things. So if you're going, if you've written all novels and you come to serial writing, it's a little bit different. But that I think that just, you know, zhuzhes up the juice there and gets you more creative in different ways that you might not have even thought of before.
Yeah.
Excellent. Great answer. Well, thank you for sitting down and talking with us.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Our thanks today to CP Knight for letting us break down their episode.
And that's a wrap. You're the worst.
I was like, I thought I had you that time. I was like, I thought I had you. I'm like, oh, this is gonna do it. You almost lost it, and then I almost lost it. And I had to
go over here a couple of times to get water. I was definitely like dying.
I am the master, making you laugh. You're like, what's going on? Do I get the trophy now, world champion?
Who puts Richard Simmons into our script?
I'm like, I'm gonna get him. I'm like, this is it. This is JP's gonna laugh.
I was like,
I'm like, I gift you.
In the middle of a sentence, my brain fell out of my body, and I don't even know what I said afterwards. I know I stumbled.